Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Polls are open in Arizona, Idaho, and Utah today for the Democratic and Republican primary elections, but the races aren't getting the usual onslaught of media coverage, overshadowed by the tragic attacks in Belgium, President Obama's visit to Cuba, and other world news. Today we're going to talk about the presidential election, but through the lens, sometimes, unless you want to talk about something else, about the power of media. Can the media steer an election? Is the media responsible for the rise of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? And conversely, for some of the losses by Bernie Sanders? What do you think? Is the pardon me. What do you think? Is the media shaping this election up? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Your chances of getting in on the air, right now, hearing your own voice, having your relatives hear your voice and saying, was that you on the Vox Pop today? Your chances are now 100% of getting in. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. The rules, of course, are quite simple. Civility reigns, you know, civility. You know, some of the people are getting pretty antsy about all of this, and I don't like it. I mean, I speak to everybody else as if they have a valid opinion. You know, I don't like it when people say mean things about other people. This isn't the forum for that. That's the other kind of radio. That's not this kind of radio. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Okay, let's go to Israel. Oh, whoa, all the phones are ringing. Let's go to Israel from New Windsor. Israel, hey, you're on.
How you doing, Alan?
Well, I'm good. How are things up in New Windsor?
Great. I had a question for you, number one. You know you give the round table this morning?
Yeah.
Any of the people on the round table are Jewish?
Well, I certainly am, and Libby certainly is, but she wasn't there this morning. So, yeah, I guess, and Mike isn't. Yes, I am.
I had a question for you. What do you say about AIPAC that Trump spoke yesterday?
Well, I think it has enormous power. And I don't quite understand all that power, well, I do somewhat. You know, only 2% of the American people are Jewish. You knew that, right?
But that's the 2% that votes.
No, that's still 2%. Still 2%. And believe me, Israel, not every Jew votes. But let's just say it's a powerful lobby. It has allies like the evangelicals and others who consider Israel to be very important, as well, of course, as the number of people who think that Israel is the bulwark of democracy within, and I don't want this show to be Israel, by the way, but the bulwark of democracy in a very anti-democratic region of the world. So, yes.
And my question is, what don't you like about Trump?
Oh, I think he's irresponsible.
Why is he irresponsible?
Because he says all kinds of weird things like, you know, keeping Muslims out of the United States.
What do you mean? If, just like we saw in Belgium today, if one of them are a terrorist, even if we can't let even one in.
Oh, I see. So, Israel, suppose there was one Jew who came into this country who didn't like, you know, the fact that the president and Netanyahu had a fight and did something stupid. And by the way, Israel, do you think for a single second that we haven't had Jewish terrorists in this country?
What do you mean
many years ago? I'm telling you right now, there have been Jews in this country who have done terrible things, including Son of Sam, other people like that. This is a very, excuse me. I should never eat a Girl Scout cookie before I go on the air. But this
Okay, so I want to tell you who do you think is going to win? Trump's going to win Arizona today.
I don't know.
Cruz is going to win on Utah.
I don't know. That's an interesting one. That's a very interesting one. I'll tell you why. Because you have Mitt Romney out there blasting blasting Trump. I've been fighting with my colleagues about this one. I think it's quite clear Mitt Romney wants a free ride. In other words, he didn't want to have to go campaign.
He wants to get broker convention.
That's right. And then he wants to be the candidate.
He's a backstab because Trump endorsed him, and he's getting nowhere with it.
What? Trump endorsed who? You mean,
Trump endorsed Romney in 2012 and made polls for him, and now he's stabbing him in the back.
Well, you know, Trump has shown a penchant for stabbing anybody in the back who gets in his way, including Mrs. Clinton, who he gave a ton of money to.
Mrs. Clinton is a joke. She's a phony. Anything she did, she was unsuccessful.
Now,
she's a liar.
That's not civil. She's a phony. She's a joke. Give me policy.
Benghazi.
Well, you know, there are many people who think it's a phony issue in itself, that she did what she could, that it could have happened anywhere, and that, you know, it's just something, you know, that the Republicans, you know, Pete Seeger used to say to me, Alan, you take an issue and the height of pedagogy is repetition. And they repeat it and they repeat it. Obamacare and this and that. And they repeat it again and again. I think it's a phony in itself. Hey, Israel, there are five people behind you. Thanks for starting.
Yeah, just last question. Are you pro-Israel?
Me? I've said that 1,000 times. Of course I am.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that. Have a good one. Thank you.
Wow. Okay, let's go to James in Highland. Okay, James, you're on.
Good afternoon, Dr. Shartok.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
The media, especially today, with as well connected as we are with the internet and, you know, the phones, and media is a very, very powerful tool.
You bet.
You know, our enemies right now are using it to spin their ideas and get it out. They're recruiting, but as far as media is concerned, they can make a good person look bad, and they can make a bad person look good.
And
it's
right
whatever
away,
kind
by the
of
way,
spin.
By the way, James, you're right about that. But I want to point out, as Rex Smith always does on the Media Project, the media is not a single entity. I mean, I can hardly look at the New York POST, let alone say its name, because it's so, you know, crazy dedicated to killing Hillary. I don't mean that physically, but in every other way. And Murdoch is Murdoch and owning all the media, or so much of the media. And, you know, then you get the New York Times, very different institutions. Yes.
Yes. And I do agree, you know, but again, people today realize the power of the media.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, if you look at some of these protesters, you know, the rumor on the street is a lot of these protesters are actually paid by whoever is financing them to go in and stir the pot.
Could
because
be.
They know that the media is going to be right on it, and, you know, they're going to get the sensation that they're actually looking for.
Actually, James, I'm very interested in what you're saying. I happened to be watching. We were visiting our children in New Jersey the other day, and we were watching CNN, and they had these guys out for the Trump rally, and there were people who were opposing Trump, right? And so they were out there, and the reporters were all saying back to their anchor, the word was never said, but sorry, there's no violence. You know, there's no one actually said no violence yet. You know, it was almost an invitation. How could it be a good show if they weren't in the middle of a fight somewhere? So you make a very good point.
And you know something, Dr. Shartok, you're absolutely correct that the media isn't one unit, but the media as a whole. I mean, even you take the Weather Channel, you know, they could take 2 inches of snow and, oh my God, I mean, it's terrible out here and the conditions are bad.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, and people just automatically get drawn into that.
Well, of course,
because
they know what works.
Mindset.
It's all about ratings. They know what works. James, there are five people behind you. We thank you for your wonderful call. Thank you.
Alan, thank you.
Okay, bye. We've got a Jay in Albany. Jay in Albany, you're on.
Good afternoon, Professor.
Could you speak up a bit? You're a little low.
Good afternoon, Professor.
Much
Can
better.
You hear me now?
Yes.
Good. It seems to me that Senator McConnell and his Republican cohort have never recognized the legitimacy of the Obama presidency because he's African-American. I, speaking only for myself, never recognized the legitimacy of the G.W. Bush presidency because he was appointed by the Supreme Court.
Yeah?
Yeah. even after.
Bring it.
Mr.
I got that. Let me explain something to you about leadership in the legislature or the Senate, or at least try to explain it to you, because you may not believe it.
I believe almost anything.
These guys are elected by the people in their conferences or caucuses for one purpose only: to take the heat. Got it?
Got it.
They have to take the heat. So in the New York State Legislature, for example, in the New York State Legislature, we have this guy, the new guy, Carl Hastie. He says all the unpopular things, and the others are all saying things like, oh, well, we have to have ethics reform. But they elected him, and he takes the lead on this stuff. The same thing is happening with McConnell. I'm certainly not a McConnell fan, and I think you're right. From the very beginning, he was trying to, knock off Obama, and said so.
Their whole agenda was to obstruct.
Well, that's right.
Just think how much further along our economic recovery would have been if it had been properly funded.
Republicans
had not obstructed at every turn.
But you know what? You're right. But the economic recovery, no matter what he says, has been superb. Now it's the Democrats' fault. Shame on them if they don't make the most of it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you're right.
Okay. Hey, Jay, I got to let you...
I've refused to donate to the Democratic committees, campaign committees, after the botch-up job they did in the last election.
It's pretty botched up.
I mean, they did not get my money's worth. If it had been a real product, I would have brought it back to the store.
Okay. Jay, thanks for calling. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you for the forum.
Okay,
bye.
Bye. Let's take a break, and then we'll come right back. And there's Jay and Judy and Joe and Rocky and Diane. Stay on the phone.
Support for WAMC comes from Kerry Haddad Gallery, Hudson, presenting Winter Exhibit with paintings by Bruce Sargent, Joseph Mariska, and Harry Orlick, and drawings by David Drew Brunner. Now through April 3rd, open 7 days, kerryhaddadgallery.com. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio, forthillautobody.com. Watson & Associates, Occupational Hygiene and Safety, providing comprehensive hygiene, safety services, and training for industrial, commercial, and governmental facilities. SafetyIsElementary.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Calendar Girls by Tim Firth. Weekends April 15th through May 1st, the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org.
And we are back, and thank you, everybody, for being my pal and being on there. We got Winfrey phone line number 3. So why doesn't somebody take it from Twitter? Why is no one talking about right-wing baiting and proving the left with providing the left with talking points to attack at Hillary Clinton during the primary? I think, says Scott from Boston Spa, I think the press is responsible for many of the bad things. They're giving bad ideas and publicity to others who also look to get attention, who are looking for a bad act to commit. They feed upon each other like mass shooters, looters, and rioters, political protesters, etc. do. The media are a big part of the problem, trolling through crowds, giving a platform to misbehave in front of. And we'll go now to Judy in Lake Hill. Okay, Judy, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
Good, but speak up.
All righty. There were two things that I learned in art school in college in the 60s in Philadelphia, and I studied fine art, but also some advertising. And the two things I learned were that the public can be manipulated very easily by certain techniques, very specific techniques, and it's really about advertising anything. It doesn't matter. It works for shoes or politicians. It doesn't matter.
You're right.
Yep. And the second thing I learned was that that you could Let me think what it was. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, the first is very good. You know, you can take a loaf of bread with no nutrients in it at all and make it into, you know, something special. No question. You're right about that. You can do the same thing with politicians, and the politicians who do it can win, and those who don't do it can lose. Now, do you remember what you were going to say?
No. No, I'm sorry. But that was a good one. I mean, that was very important
was
when I learned that. The reason I did not stay in advertising, because it's really not about anything that's necessarily truthful. It's about selling something that people don't even know that they're buying or not getting when they're buying something. It's about their desires. It's all about emotion. And that's maybe a segue into Donald Trump's campaign.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. All right, Judy. And we'll go to Joe in Saratoga. Joe in Saratoga.
Hey, how you doing, Professor?
Good
show.
Go ahead.
Couple things. One is, I think it's funny when you talk about the media trying to, you know, take care of, you know, move the whole conversation one direction or the other, because not the news media clearly, but media in and of itself, the television media created Donald Trump. They gave him his little place, and we're seeing all the Apprentice watchers. Everybody that watches Apprentice is voting for him. Because he's a tough, no-nonsense guy, which we all know he's a bully. I don't know how we teach our children not to bully, and then a guy running for president is the biggest yutz bully I've ever seen in my life. The second, and I use a Jewish word there. And the other thing is, be careful what you wish for. The Republicans keep talking like, what the next president decide? Next president decide. How about throwing this out? Hillary wins, she nominates Obama. Man, would some heads explode or what?
You mean nominates him to the court?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I've heard that before. I don't think that's going to happen. Joe, thank you. Great call. Let's go to Diane in Saugerties. Diane, you're on.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm tired that the media covers the behavior of the politicians, the behavior of the other media. Who's got more votes, how they might trade off each other. I would like to hear a lot more about the policies. I believe that the candidates on their websites have policy positions and papers
some do.
On a lot of things.
Some do, Diane. Some don't. So, for example,
I don't hear much of that.
Well, first of all, I want to get into this with you for a second. But first of all, some do, some don't. Trump virtually never gives a policy position. He may say,
right,
let's stop the Muslims from coming into the country. That may be a policy position. But if you think he's going to talk about the politics of the Department of Education, guess again. He's not going to do it, not in substance. So, and then the second part of your complaint, and I think it's correct, is that we don't do enough of it. And the reason we don't do enough of it, the media knows, is they're not going to get attention and they're not going to get ratings, and they know how to do it. And if you were running one of the major media companies, ABC or CBS or one of the others, I have a feeling, Diane, you'd be doing the same thing, because if you weren't, you'd be, just as Donald Trump always says, fired. You'd be fired.
Perhaps.
What do you mean, perhaps?
But, Alan, I listen to you all the time, no matter what you talk about, and I would certainly keep listening to you if you and the people on the roundtable talked more about what they might actually do if elected.
Diane, you're smart. Of course you're smart. But you know what? These people have ways. When they're sitting up there and figuring out and saying to their pollsters, figure out what we have to do in order to win, CNN comes in third, right? You know that.
So are you telling me that the reason you on WAMC don't talk more about the policies is because you think you'll lose listeners?
Not at all.
Then is it because you don't believe anything they're saying?
No, I think we do talk about policy. You'll have to listen a little bit more carefully sometime to this. But I do think you're smart. I think the roundtable is a place not for educated people, but for smart people. And I think they come.
I would like to hear more about the policies and about what they might actually do if elected.
Diane, it's a fair comment. I appreciate it very much, and thanks for doing it. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Gillian in Saratoga. Okay, Gillian, you're on.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So I was just, you know, with all these events, that we're seeing in today in Brussels, tragic events. And I was thinking about my days in college when I read Noam Chomsky's Manufacturing Consent. And I guess I wanted to hear you talk a little bit about that. I'm sure you're familiar with his work.
Very much so.
So we're seeing it. And then I had a thought this afternoon when you think about losing 24 people to these violent attacks, is giving up our rights worth it for the safety? And, you know,
what do you mean?
One of those,
what do you mean?
Well, I guess I don't know what I mean. I'm kind of throwing it to you.
I suspected that, but really, is there a way of sort of fleshing it out a bit for us?
Well, if one of my family members were killed in one of these attacks,
yes,
I would be a lot closer to it right now. It would be less of a theory, less of a thought in my head, and more of, oh my God, how could we have stopped this so the next person doesn't, or how could we have let this go on?
Right.
But what could we have done?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with the media?
Well, I mean, I think the media kind of foments this fear to an extent and sensationalizes it.
How would you stop? Okay. How would you stop it?
Stop what?
Stop the media from doing what you say they're doing. Fomenting.
Well, I don't know that I would try to stop it necessarily in some cases if it were to make us safer. I guess that's the thought that popped into my head.
Well, like, you know, Franco and other fascists and Mussolini and others, they all said that. We're protecting you. We're not going to let the media do things like that. We're going to protect you. And so they did. They said, okay, only the media we like, and we'll say what you can say and what you can't say, right?
Fair point. We see that in China. We see that all
right,
over the place.
We do.
Right.
And the Chinese still have their own problems. Gillian,
Absolutely.
Wish I could get into the Noam Chomsky thing with you. I can't because we don't have enough time, but there are a lot of people behind you, and thank you for calling. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, there are 3 free phones right now because of Gillian's hanging up. That means if you want to get on, you'll get on right now. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Daniel in Great Barrington. Daniel, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, I thought there was something wrong with the volume there.
What do you mean, where?
On my phone, the volume was very low before I got on.
Yeah, that's the way it goes, yeah. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, not to be sorry.
Anyway, I think that Donald Trump loves our country.
Okay.
And wants to help us.
Okay.
But he's a bull in a china shop. He's got no, he's vulgar, he's rude, and he has no class at all.
Yeah, but is he a genius is the question. In other words, does he know intuitively what he's doing is going to be well received? I want to point out to you about bull in a china shop. Our vice president, who I very much love, I think he's great, Joe Biden. He was accused of being a bull in a china shop, too, and it cost him, you know, when he was running for president, he was out in no time because he said malaprops.
You're right. He's got mouth problems.
Well, and you don't think Trump has mouth problems?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So what is it about him? I think he has taken the measure of what
he's just getting all these people in this country.
Indeed. But, Daniel, let me ask you this. Today, we saw this horrendous, horrendous, terrible, terrible thing that happened.
Yeah.
All these people getting killed. Does that hurt or help the candidacy of Donald Trump?
Boy,
it helps him. Come on.
I didn't
think. It helps him. He's starting. Let's not let the Muslims into this country. What do you think? He knows where he's going. All it takes is one.
I don't know. You got me there.
I don't mean to get you, and I do.
You know, I didn't really relate one to the other.
You better. Daniel, I got to go. Thank you. Appreciate
okay.
it. Yeah, bye.
Thanks.
Let's go to Faith in East Greenbush. Okay, Faith, you're on.
Hey, Alan. I was just going to say that I think the media obviously has controlled most of this election. They've given Trump so much media coverage because he's a celebrity. He says whatever. He's not politically correct, and they eat it right up. They've given him, for instance, like an hour to speak, whereas they only give Bernie like 10 minutes.
If that.
And, you know, same with Hillary. I mean, some of her biggest donors are CNN, NBC. They give her all this coverage. They don't give Bernie anything at all. And it's sad because if you look at the general election polls, that they won't show you, of course, he's actually beating Trump by a bigger number than Hillary.
Well, how do you know that? I mean, I know it because I read it in the papers.
It's a CNN poll that was done by CNN.
I know. That's exactly my point. The point is you say, well, nobody knows that. The media never tells you. But the media seems to have told me and you that, because otherwise you wouldn't know it and I wouldn't know it.
Well, I mean, I saw it online. It's not something I would see on the news.
Oh, come on. Don't give me this online stuff. I saw it in the newspapers. So, you know, Faith, I got it, and I think you're right. Let me read you just a little bit of a email we just got. As of December 11, 2015, ABC World News devoted 81 minutes of coverage to Donald Trump and 1 minute to Bernie Sanders. Of course, the media had a huge hand in creating the Trump success. No publicity is bad publicity is a well-known adage. Okay, Faith, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Call again, okay?
All right, thank you.
Bye. Okay, we'll go to RJ in Schenectady. RJ, you got to keep it short. Go ahead.
Okay, I just had a comment about media and the terrorist attacks that just keep going on and on. What I object to is that the media always classifies these terrorist networks as being powerful and capable of carrying out these attacks.
Yeah.
When these attacks don't really require any power or capability, they just require people who are so depraved that they'll just start shooting at innocent people.
Okay, RJ.
See it in the media all the time, the highest levels, that they kind of glorify these networks, saying they're capable of carrying out these attacks. All over the world, even the Middle East, when they're just terrorist attacks, they pack up a truck with bomb and they blow up 100 people.
RJ,
and that doesn't make them more powerful.
RJ, thank you very much for your comment. Okay, we'll go to Grace in Western Massachusetts. Grace, go on.
Hi. I had a question and a comment.
Sure.
I absolutely, totally pay attention to the news, but I was working in a place that was involved in, like, in this international scandal, and all the news got it wrong, so I stopped getting papers.
I want to get that straight. You're working in a place.
Uh-huh.
It gets on. It was involved in an international scandal, I believe what you just said.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, well, it was a horrible tragedy, but to me, the way the media portrayed it was so off base that I was.
You stopped reading the newspaper.
I stopped reading the newspaper.
You know, in Great Barrington, I can tell you two cases in which an institution got bad reviews, and the people who were being hammered went around and tried to buy up all the newspapers.
Wow. So, I mean, I've sort of lost my faith in the print media.
You're not alone. Every poll shows them at the bottom of the pool.
But then I have two things to add. Like, my two children who are, you know, young teenagers have vociferous political debates, mostly because I have AMC on all the time, so they both have very strong opinions, and they back them up, so that's a good thing. But then my boyfriend didn't even realize he wasn't registered to vote, so he couldn't vote in the primaries. So, like, how do you get people to, like, pick up their heads and, like, listen and observe? It seems
important. I don't know. I know this is self-serving, Grace, but I do my best. I'm here doing this program. I started Legislative Gazette. I started the first modern internship in the state legislature. You know, I do what I taught those courses for all those years. I did my best. And, of course, you're right. How do you do it is the question.
But, I mean, how do you, like, that's just, like, one person. Like, how overall do you get people to be invested? Like, I made him call to see where he was registered, and they were like, well, you never replied to your census. And he had no idea he'd been disenrolled.
That's funny. Grace.
It just, I mean, and this is in Massachusetts.
Yeah. which is very easy to register in and very easy to vote in. And most of us in Massachusetts, I live there, of course, is are what we call unenrolled, meaning we can vote in either primary, and they make it pretty open. Grace, I thank you for your call. We got a lot of people behind you. Appreciate
okay, bye.
It. Yeah, bye. Let's go to John in Beacon. Okay, John.
Yes, hi. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wondered if you could speak to the issue of money in media, and specifically to the example of the last CNN debate with Sanders and Clinton. It was held, but there were no disclaimers that the parent company to CNN gave Time Warner gave $400,000 to the Clinton campaign. This is never mentioned, and it's just kind of behind the scenes. And
well, I'll be honest with you, John, I didn't know it myself. So you know, those are the facts that people throw at you. I don't know that it's the case, but I do believe that disclosure.
It is the case.
I heard you. But I do believe that disclosure is the most important thing that you could possibly say. And that's why, by the way, I announced, unlike almost every journalist I know, who I was going to vote for. Because I think everybody has a right to know. Look, everybody in the media is going to cast a vote sooner or later. And we know that when they're writing their stories, they know who they're going to vote for. Now, I want people to hold me responsible. Somebody called me the other day, said you're electioneering for Bernie on the radio. And I said, how? And then I get all these other calls saying, you say you're voting for Bernie, but you're always helping Hillary out with what you're saying. So at least I think you're right. Disclosure is and transparency is incredibly important.
Is the FCC issues license to companies, to media companies, don't they? And these are essentially our airwaves that we grant license to of the people.
Right.
So these disclosures should just be, in a matter of course, be fair.
Well, they should be. On the other hand, as soon as the government gives out licenses based on what you're doing and not doing, believe me, you can have a really bad outcome as a result of that, because then they believe they own the radio station. Do you want this government owning WAMC? Do you want Andrew Cuomo to own WAMC? I don't think you do. But in any case, John, I got to take a break. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Nine Pin Cider Works, serving New York hard ciders made from locally sourced apples. Tasting room open Wednesday through Sunday at 929 Broadway, downtown Albany. Be revolutionary, consider the apple. NinePinCider.com. Capital Region Language Center offering classes in Spanish, French, Chinese, Korean, and Latin for children at our locations, as well as daycares, preschool, and private schools. CRLCAlbany.org for details. Coldeman Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability. Designed for the next 100 years. CNHArchitects.com. Habitat Post and Beam, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, designing and manufacturing energy-efficient post and beam homes and additions throughout the Northeast since 1972. PostandBeam.com. And Curran Compliance Services, Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. Compliance consultants to the life insurance industry announcing a symposium in Albany, June 22nd through 24th. CurranCompliance.com.
Not surprisingly, we're getting a lot of email because all the lines are tied up. Hi, Dr. Shartok. Thank you for the show. I believe that certain media outlets are slanted in their corporate owners' agendas. I also believe that we, the people, are responsible for the media phenomena that we see today, has been said on WAMC, amongst other places. It is all about the ratings, not the content. Parenthesis, WAMC excluded. As soon as the public rejects shock jock style, wrestling style news and politics, we, the people, may wake up. Okay, thank you for that. Bonnie says, it seems that Donald is trying to prove Sinclair Lewis wrong. It can happen here. Your response. Yeah, it can. And that's what we got so far. Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's go to James in Hudson. James, bring it.
Hi. I just wanted to, I'll try to be brief.
I just get, I'm a big Bernie supporter.
Right.
Though I keep telling everyone that I will vote for the Democratic nominee, but every time I do a lot of, things on social media.
Right.
And people say, oh, I just hate women because I don't think that Hillary's the best candidate. And I say, I will vote for her. I think she's made some big mistakes.
Okay.
You know.
No, I think that's fair. I get a certain amount of that, too. I mean,
yeah.
you know that I supported Bernie, and a lot of women, particularly younger women, believe what you believe. They say I'm for women, but I think Bernie's
I'm all for women. So yeah. I'm all for women. I'm all for like a woman. I just don't think she's the best candidate. And I think it should be. I think feminism is an equal playing field for everybody. That's what I believed in. I think I've been a feminist since I was a teenager.
Okay, James, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to David in Patterson. David, you're on.
Thank you. I just want to make two quick points. And talking about someone who's loose at the mouth, the classic example was Harry Truman. You may remember during the Korean War, he was asked whether consideration of the atomic bomb was under consideration. He said yes, and they had to backtrack. Please don't take this as an endorsement of Trump. But I think the media has also, in a certain sense, been more against Trump than the others. You'll remember at either the last debate or the previous one, Chris Wallace showed a slide showing how Trump's economics wouldn't work, but they didn't do the same thing to either Rubio or Cruz.
Mm,
I mean,
see.
I consider all three
of them
equally worthless.
Yeah, David, that's a very good point. Very good point.
Because okay, thank you.
You give some people a choice, me among them. You give some people a choice of Trump or Cruz. I think basically Cruz's president would do more damage. But what?
I agree with you totally. Know.
Thank you very much, David. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
We'll go to Sergio in Albany. Sergio, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wonder if you ever saw the movie The Perfect Storm, because I think we're living it politically today. Since 1996, Fox News has been nonstop vitriol towards the oppositional party. And I think that, you know, your listeners just have to turn the dial. I'm not saying forever, but turn the dial to Fox Radio someday in the afternoon and just listen to the vitriol and hatred and intolerance that comes out of these people. Now you combine that with, you know, 7-8 years of obstructionist and do-nothings, the Republican Party and Congress blocking, denigrating, doing everything they possibly can to this president, and then you combine that with now the media savvy Donald Trump now can take advantage of, you know, this reality TV society that we have today, and it's no surprise to me that, you know, Donald Trump is where he is. What solution do you have for this?
Well, I don't know what solution there is. I know one thing: educate people. Have civics courses in high schools. Make sure that the newspapers are doing their jobs, although social media has now eclipsed the newspapers. Yeah. And as you say, the perfect...
And that's a cesspool. One of your listeners also, you know, said that if you go out on social media today, I mean, it's just a cesspool of intolerance and hatred. And I'm just really concerned about the path that this country is taking when, you know, a person like Donald Trump considered for president.
And by the way, more than considered for, may very well become the president. Don't kid yourself. Oh, yeah. Don't well me. I'm telling you now.
It's a possibility.
Hey, Sergio, I thank you for your call. Let's go to John in Greenfield. John, you're on. John.
Hello. Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I agree. I think it's a fantastic time in politics if you're into politics right now, because your guess is as good as mine, really. I think Trump's a extreme vulgarist, and I think if we elect him, we deserve what we get. And honestly,
think we deserve what we get?
Well,
people say that all the time, but I don't think we deserve that.
Well, truly, at best, he's a sociopath, and at worst, he's the reincarnation of Hitler.
Those are a little strong,
but he's also, I agree with you, he's a genius. He's really a media savvy genius. So let's not talk about him. And I just was curious about the next generation of people in politics and how Mr. Sanders just seems somehow to be the person that everyone under 30 loves, no matter who you are.
Well, not everyone, but an awful lot of people, and you're right. And, you know, I watched it happen with the gay marriage issue. You know, nobody ever thought that that would happen in this country. But the young people were coming up here and fooled a lot of people and said, hey, this is nonsense. We, people love each other. They should be allowed to get married. End of discussion. And boom, the whole thing changed overnight.
The kids have got the Facebook thing. There's the whole, I'm 53 years old, so I do what I can to keep my 12-year-old off of her phone as much as I can. But they really are magnetized around his real message about, you know, they're not fooled by the standard politicians, by, you know, Clinton is a dynasty. And no one's used the word elitist for Trump or Clinton, so I will use it now.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think we are in a spot right now that is going to define elections for a long time to come. Based on what happens in this election and what the outcome is, you know, Lee Hayes, the great Lee Hayes of the Weavers, used to say, "Democracy gives you a choice of which of how to cut which razor blade to cut your throat with." But you have to make some decisions. Look, you have to make a decision. But let's assume it's Hillary versus Trump. That's a decision.
Well, I know. And it, of course, you go with someone who's been in politics a long time.
Or who might appoint three Supreme Court judges.
True. I mean, if you're talking about a centrist person like her husband, my friend who I work with just asked me, could she appoint Bill as vice president?
Ah, come on.
I was just throwing it out there as a joke.
It's a bunch of nonsense. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Joe in Ulster Park. Joe in Ulster Park, you're on.
There's a couple of things about the Supreme Court that came up early on in the departure of Scalia, and they don't get repeated, and I think they're important. The one is that... this came over your station, which is where I get almost 99% of my news, I guess. The longest a Supreme Court vacancy has ever gone unfilled in the history of the country, over 200 years, is 128 days.
Yeah, well, and, it is clear that these guys are in a bad spot. Republican senators, they're just two-year-olds having a tantrum, you know, with their feet and saying, we're going to send you to quiet time if you don't do this. And they're going to go to quiet time, I'll tell you right now, because they cannot deal with this. They just can't deal with it.
Well, we need to be reminding the public of that as often as possible. The second thing in connection with that is that when Biden said the unfortunate thing that he did say, it was a slightly different,
It always is. He shouldn't have said it. He should have shut up.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, when we're talking about media today, I read somewhere today that John Roberts, the Supreme Court Chief Judge, who they appointed at a very young age, so he would be around forever, said politics before Scalia died, he said politics should never enter into who gets appointed to the court. Well, of course, his nomination got, you know, he was there because he was going to do the bidding largely, but not always, of the people who put him there. But when we read almost nothing about what he said, that's a pretty important thing, don't you think?
Yeah. There's another thing that Biden said was not the same circumstance. There, it was a voluntary.
No, I know. Yeah. We've talked about it 1,000 times. Joe, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's go to Satima of Clifton Park. Satima, you're on.
Hi. I had two comments. First was in regards to Donald Trump. He's a businessman, so I think he knows exactly what he's doing, what he's saying, and how to get the attention of media and everyone else on his side. Whether or not he's going to be telling the truth, we can only see in the future. And in regards to media, I do blame media for a lot, but at the same time, we should be held responsible too, because we have plenty of resources to go to find out the truth, whatever it may be, and we have a lot of different resources to refer to. So you can't just sit in front of the TV and believe everything you hear and say, you hear and see. You should make the effort to go and look for it yourself as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye. We'll go to Elizabeth in Montgomery. Okay, Elizabeth Montgomery, you're on. Elizabeth.
Hi, Alan. How you doing?
So far, all right.
I just think the media is not doing their job.
Okay.
Now, I was for Hillary in 2008. I am not for Hillary now. She has too much baggage. In addition, she is, as Bernie says, she's gotten Wall Street. Who's donating to her? I mean, when you think about it, she's got billions and billions of dollars, and of course, it's not from the common people.
Well, wait a second now, Elizabeth. There are some common people who are giving her money.
Yes,
you know
but
that.
But the majority, she will be one thing that, you know, Bernie says, he's not going to be beholden to anyone because he doesn't think he has to take in that much money.
Well, you know, Trump says the same thing. I'm not going to get. Because I use spending all my own money.
Right. I like that idea. And I like the idea. I would love a Trump-Sanders joint race. Because that would be two iconic people. It would be interesting to see how America goes.
Well, interesting, but dangerous, don't you think?
No, I do not. I think I'm tired of the elites making decisions for me, whether it's Republican elites or Democrats.
Okay, Elizabeth, good points all. Thank you for calling. 1-800-348-2551. We only got a few seconds now. Phil in Pittsfield says, the caller who mentioned Chomsky didn't mention the obvious issue. Sanders would be bad for business. So why would advertisers or those with advertisers' interest in mind give him airtime? So little of what the candidates, especially on the right, have to say mean anything at all. How do we get people in America to look at substance rather than instead of who they would rather have a beer with? And that's from Phil in Pittsfield. And we heard from Janet, who said, unless he's hiding it, there is not one indication that he has a smidgen of humility, which Hillary does, which Bernie has in spades. Obama has humility, and even the guy before him, what's his name, Bush, et cetera, did, which a president should have, in my opinion. Is there a chance a man such as he is can learn humility? I'm assuming you're talking about Trump. Once he's in the job in the White House, he will see things like never before. In a way, the guy has lived sheltered in a big, rich people bubble. And now we're going to go to Marcella in Saratoga. Very quickly, Marcella, we're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say that I wanted people to keep an open mind and that we still have a choice to make here in New York and that... even if Bernie doesn't have the numbers as of right now, there's a lot of misinformation, and I feel like we should just keep our voting options open.
Which raises an interesting question. We saw it in Minnesota. What about, or Michigan, I guess, what about here where Hillary is cleaning Bernie's clock in the New York primary? Do you think that this is dangerous when we start looking at these polls?
I'm not sure of whether it's dangerous. I just feel like, you know, Hillary was our senator, but she's not native to New York, and I feel like Bernie is native to New York, and he still has a fighting chance.
Wait. Bernie's been in Vermont for all these years, so...
But he's a New Yorker.
He's really a New Yorker, but Hillary, who still lives in New York, isn't a real New Yorker. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Well, you know, I am a native New Yorker, and I feel like that should be put into play, you know?
Just no, I know, but I think you're wrong. In other words, how can you say Bernie, who's been out of New York for all this time, is a native New Yorker, but Hillary isn't?
No, I think that they're both claiming, and that's why I'm saying it's significant
okay.
That we both should just keep an open mind.
Marcella, I loved your call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. We are out of time. Let's go to Mike. Mike, can you give me something really fast? One
yes,
sentence.
I can.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that the bottom line is the media nowadays deals in advertising. If we don't sell, we can't get ratings.
Yeah, true.
And we have to take care of whatever executives tell us to do.
Well, but tell that to George Bush. Tell that to Jeb
agree.
Bush.
I totally agree.
These guys. Jeb Bush had all that money, couldn't do a thing with it. It's not always only advertising. Listen, Mike, I wish we could give you more time, but we cannot. And I want to thank everybody who called. We didn't leave anybody on the line. That's good. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years, nysba.org/lawyer-referral. Tom Moore, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts, member SIPC, Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/TomMcRae. And Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York, an open congregation welcoming the Jewish community and visitors for Shabbat, holiday services, their religious school, cultural programs, and more, SaratogaSinai.org. And Ken Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restoration, serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KenHicksConstruction.com. Thanks again to everybody for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.